What's not happening?
Okay, so and I'm sure that the folks who are here is no reflection of the angst that's out there in the community. So I want to talk a little bit about how we got to this point, where we're at, and then answer your questions as best as I can. Okay, we are required by Alaska statutes, meaning it's one of the mandatory powers of local governments is assessing on behalf of the cities and the borough. And we're required to do it at full and true value, and so we use a professional agency in Alaska. It's the International Association of Assessing Officers is the professional organization that we use in order to get the models, in order to get training, et cetera, on how to get there. And we do the very best job we can. And sometimes there's sticker shock. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. When I was mayor last time in the 90s, similar thing happened. What happened then, though, what was different then to now, is that what had happened then is we only got to every area of the borough about once every 6 or 7 years. And so it meant that we didn't change values for 6 or 7 years. And so when it came around, what we found in Homer was that, hey, my assessment went up 200% in 1 year, and nothing's different than last year. Well, no, but something's different from 7 years ago or 6 years ago, or whenever the last time we went through the community. And so what it was then was things like somebody had come in and put a trailer on and got electricity hooked up, and then they built their cabin or their house. And so 6 years later, it's not a little trailer or a small cabin, it's now a big house. So improvements were part of the sticker shock then. What happened in this go-around was a couple of things. One was natural gas has come to Homer, and they applied a factor to natural gas availability if you had access or were adjacent to a pipeline, right? The gas pipeline. So out East End Road, if you're on one side of the road, there's a factor that was applied to it if it's touching the gas line. Now, we're reviewing that. I'll get to questions. Let me just finish first with what I have to say, and then
You're covering a lot of things that, you know, I have questions about before, and I'm trying to write them down, but you're going pretty fast.
Okay, well, there's really only two factors that in this case. One was whether or not you had gas accessible to your property. Okay, we're reviewing that. The variable that they used before I get to that, let me just dispel some of the rumors that I've heard from folks about the mayor's role in all this. because it's true. The assessing department operates under standards, professional standards. And from the mayor's office perspective, I get the information the same time you do. For your edification, when we put out our budget instructions this year, what I told everybody, the service areas, the departments, was we were projecting a 1% increase in assessed values. And last year, I think we estimated a 2% increase. But because I know the economy is contracting, I said, you know, we need to be conservative. We're not sure what's going to happen, so we're going to estimate 1% increase borough-wide. That's what we estimated for our budget purposes. Now, because last year was the year that they went through and canvassed in the Homer area, South Peninsula area, and they went out and visited all of the physical structures, and also looked at lands, they used a different formula this year. They're transitioning to a new land model. And I don't know how many of you will agree with this, but I own properties also. And I can tell you that I've gotten offers for some of the properties that say, we'll give you 20% above borough assessment for your homestead. We still own our homestead out in Nikiski. And I said, of course not. We wouldn't sell it for that. Land values on the Kenai Peninsula have been undervalued, I think, as a general term, not all, But in general, land values, raw land values, have been undervalued for a long period of time.
Mike, to counter that point, there's a lot of properties down here that if you could get what they're assessing them for, people would sell it in a heartbeat.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I hear that all the time, too. Will the borough buy my property? No, how about if we buy it at last year's value? You know, and that's what, you know, and of course, boroughs don't go through and buy those properties. And what we're trying to get to is a full and true value, and we're constrained a little bit by what the state statutes say about how you can get there. For example, one of the things that we're dealing with right now is in how they applied the availability of gas to your property as a percentage. What did they apply as a percentage? And if they applied it as a percentage, there's a difference between a big lot. If you have a 10-acre lot and a 1-acre lot, the 10-acre lot is valued at, let's say, $50,000. The 1-acre lot's at $5,000 or $10,000. You apply a factor to that, a percentage factor, the bigger parcel is going to have a higher value, even though having gas...
We're already being assessed to have the gas come to our property. We're already being assessed $400 a year or pay a lump sum of a certain amount to have the gas come to our property. So why are we being taxed twice for it?
Because when you sell your property, you will get a premium of some amount as a result of having gas to your property.
Based on what? If it costs me $18,000 to rent or fix my furnace, pay for gas access to my line, oil's at $52 a barrel, show me the economics that's proves your point.
Well, one, I'm under...
Because I can prove it otherwise.
Well, you know, we can get into the nuances of individual examples if you would like, and I'll try to answer your questions as best I can. What I'd like to try to do is describe this process that we're required to go to and some of the constraints in statute that make it more difficult. And by the way, this is by far the most appeals that we've ever gotten. Okay? That in and of itself says, why are we getting all of these appeals? Okay, and so we have both talked to our assessing office a number of times, and we also have been in touch with the state assessor's office because they review what local governments do and the processes that they go through on a fairly regular basis. I also heard that the borough was under an audit or under investigation. The fact of the matter is that the state assessor's office came down because of the Nikiski and Corbin meeting. They came down, and while they were here, they came in and said, hey, we're in town, why don't we use this as an opportunity to review what you're doing and go over. And so they do that on a regular basis. We're subject to oversight by the state assessor's office. But they're constrained too. Here's one of the constraints. If two people live next to each other, both have exactly the same structures, both of their values go up by 50% in 1 year, one of them appeals, the other one doesn't, one of them is successful in their appeals, you can't apply that to the neighbor if they haven't appealed. Can't do it. Where it catches up, so if you haven't appealed, then the adjustments, unless there's manifest errors or something like that, where it catches up is the next year, then they go back in and make the adjustments. If we make a determination if the Board of Equalization makes a determination that what they've applied for a view factor, because that's the other thing that they did in the land models, they went to a view factor and there's four categories of it, no view, limited view, good view, and excellent view, all of which have some level of subjectivity to it. I get that. But I didn't know that they were transitioning to a new model. We went through this, maybe about 10 years ago, we went through changing to a new model. And so I end up with some of the same frustrations when I get to it and I see what's happening. I say, oh, this is going to be a problem. And sure enough, it is. So now we've got to figure out how we address it and what, if any, changes should be made. And then, you know, those of you who have appealed, if we can get to some, well, if we can get to some, if we determine that we think that the way they applied the gas multiplier, if we think that there, if I think there's a mistake, and I talked to the state assessor and I said, I think this should have been done differently, and he agrees, then we may be able to just say to all the folks who had that multiplier put in, what process that we have to go through then, we have to send out a corrected notice based on that, and you get a chance to appeal again, if you still don't like those numbers. If we get to, you know, on the view categories, the four view categories that I talked about, and they're different inside the city and outside the city. And I just found all this out after meeting with the assessors the last several days, this week and last week. And in city, the default view is limited view. So if you have a limited view, then there was no multiplier that was put into play for that land, for the land, the view factor. If you have no view, it actually reduces the value by 20%. If you have a good view, it increases it, and this is the base rate, not all your property, it's the base rate for land, increases it by 40-50%. And if you have, it's either 40 or 50, I've got it. It is 50%, and if it's excellent, then it's a 90% multiplier.
Wow.
Yeah, and I said the same thing. I said, wow.
But that's not new. That's already been done.
That's what's been done this year.
That's new this year?
That's new. This is a new land model. That's a new land model that factored that in. And so when you get to in a single year going to a multiplier for a view and a multiplier in those cases where it had access to gas, it can be a big number. And
where does the actual data come into your calculation from the realty?
That's a great question.
The real estate side. This is all model based, and I understand.
Great question, and I very much appreciate it because Alaska is not a disclosure state. That means that all those sales that are taking place, we don't get that information, and the realtors don't want us to have that information. They oppose it when we go in and say, look.
Then it should be called fair market value.
Well,
it's a model based.
It's not fair market value. It's full and true value. There's a difference.
It's a model based value.
Right. And realtors don't want us to have that information. And so what we do is when you buy and sell property now, we send out a form asking you to give us the information on what you sold it for or what you bought it for. And then we try to reconcile.
I bought my property 2 years ago. I filled out a form and sent it in, and my assessment's up 25% from when I bought it. In 2 years.
And so what we get is a very limited amount of the total sales that we're using to try to correlate their models.
I sent the postcard in too. So.
You what?
I sent the postcard in too. So.
Okay, and I appreciate that. And I talked to Chief Bob Ciccarella, and he said, yeah, ours went up this year, and we just bought it last year. Well, and he said, we have a beautiful view. But if you just bought it last year, that would seem to be a reflection of what the value of that property is. So, go ahead.
According to the Alaska State Statute, Section 29.45.110, which deals with full and true value, it states in here three key words. Prevailing market conditions. Let me read this. The full and true value is the estimated price that the property would bring in an open market and under the then prevailing market conditions in a sale between a willing seller and a willing buyer, both conversant with the property and with prevailing general price levels. And I think, in my opinion, I believe they did not take into account this statute, prevailing market conditions, because I think everybody in this room, if somebody would pay them what the assessment comes in, we'd all sell.
No way. Sorry.
Okay.
See, that is the problem. And then there's a process you know, one of the things is that all of the, what a willing buyer and willing seller, because oftentimes they're not arm's length sales. And so the data that we get can be mixed, and again, we have limited data in which to value that on. And so there's also this process that's set up in statute and at the borough, which is the Board of Equalization, where we convene a quasi-judicial panel that you go to, and the burden is on you. Mm-hmm. The burden's on you. I mean, it's also on the assessing department, but the assessing department is, so the Board of Equalization is supposed to do it based on whether or not there were errors, et cetera, made in the process, not because the value jumped too much in 1 year. They're not supposed to do it based on that, but they can. They're, and they very well may.
But does this not?
It does apply. So okay. You tell me, on every single one of the properties that we have down here, are they wrong? Were they wrong last year? Were they wrong the year before?
The problem with that statute, from what you said, there's no data that comes in to feed.
Well, we don't get all the data to balance it against.
Right.
And so last year, I don't know how many of you appealed your values last year. I don't know. I don't know how many appealed them the year before. We run into these in the areas that we go to every 5 years, because that's the cycle that we're trying to stay on. Every 5 years, get back to areas and review. And what complicates it this time was that they also are transitioning to a new land model. And so it may be that there were some errors made, some assumptions made, and it may be that there has to be some adjustment. Our struggle, and my struggle, is whether or not that this is in fact, how do we sort of quantify that? And we do it in part by the number of appeals and looking at the different values, but we also do it in part based on an appeal process, and that appeal process means that if we agree that the percentages that are applied are too high or the assumptions that were made were wrong, we don't have the ability to say, throw it all out and start over. Unless, and we're, as I said, we're in communication with, and I don't know, I'm not at that point yet. I'm still in the evaluation process and trying to figure it out. So we are in communication with the state assessor's department to figure out what the options are. And we're going to try to get there. I get it that there's a lot of angst and uncertainty and people have appealed. I understand that. That's why I'm here, is to try to answer your questions and let you know that there's nothing nefarious or underhanded. It's a process that we're trying to get right.
I think it's unfortunate that this is happening during the daytime where a lot of folks can't get off work to be here. I think we would have a bigger crowd. I think that was beneficial for the government. I feel bad for the people that, okay, so let's say you guys decide to adjust my appeal down and my neighbor across the street with the exact same house is not going to get that chance again for 7 years or so before you come back out in value, unless they appeal the next year?
Right. They can appeal any year, but also they will get, if that happens, then what they'll do is they'll apply the same factors that they use to adjust yours this year. Now, there's an informal process right now that's going on. Some of you may have already availed yourself of it, where you can ask the assessor to come down and take another look at it and provide some additional information, et cetera, and then they may make some adjustments at that time.
Okay, in the past 16 years, I've been here 16 years, has the property value ever devalued? Ever?
Yeah.
In 16 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Actually, sometimes they go up and down, and right now, I got an appeal from Locke. I've got it with me. Locke Rooney, who said, hey, my property went up by this much and Alaska's in a contraction, the economy's in a contraction, and I believe that we are in a contracting economy. But property values lag downturns in economy and they lag upturns in economy. So and it's supposed to catch up over time.
I've got a piece of property in town. It's got city water and sewer, natural gas, paved road, and natural gas view, and it didn't do anything. Yet I have a piece of property up on the hill that's on a steep slope development. It has a short area that I can build on, has natural gas to it, but not on the lot. No water, no sewer, no electricity, and it went up over 50%. And I talked to the guy, and he says he's never seen the property, but yet he assessed it higher, 50%. My question is, I had a guy 2012 in April to my house to do an appraisal, then again in April 2016, 4 years, and yet now they're saying this different model. When I talked to the borough in these last 3 years where my assessment went down 50% for 50,000, went up 70, and then went up 140, they said, well, we're doing something like Anchorage, we're doing this new model. Well, they've been to my property before 7 years or before the 5 year deal. So I'm not accepting their line of what they're giving us. And to have property go up that high just because natural gas or view, I'm not accepting it. And I don't think that the borough should be thinking that we should accept it. They, when they were down here earlier for the realtors, they're using some model from Sterling. For natural gas, it was 4-point-some-odd% increase. Yet it seems like Homer's getting more of an increase than 4%.
Yeah, they, and I don't think that they did a different model for Anchor, Sterling or Anchor Point or wherever they did it on there. It may be that this is it's a new model that they new factors that they've applied. One was, if your property has gas, there was a 50%, I think, 50% of the base land value. So they don't say, well, here's the land, and then you got a view, and then apply the gas factor to it. They take a base land value and then apply the factors to it. And I've asked them to give me some specific examples so that I can walk through it to see how it all goes together. And I saw, you know, when I was looking at Mr. Because I go through the GIS system. We've got a great GIS system, by the way. That
works great.
Yeah, we do. And we're pretty transparent about what those values are. But we can't get sales disclosure from real estate sales because, and so it makes it that it makes it a little bit more difficult for what we're supposed to do by law. And I think a lot of the time.
Why can't you get sales disclosure?
Because we're not a disclosure state, and it has to be provided for in state law, and the realtors always don't want us to have it, and I don't really fully understand their rationale. But
So the five-year adjustment, is Homer just in an adjustment because of gas line, or is this an area that's doing the five-year adjustment? And how big is that? Is it borough-wide, or is it just Homer?
You know, we're required to assess borough-wide. But we don't have enough assessors to go to every area of the borough every year. And so we go through different areas of the borough. Last year in 2016, for 2017 purposes, this area was canvas. So the area from the probably Point all the way down to Homer and South Peninsula was part of that. Our whole assessing team was down here. In order to do that.
So this isn't necessarily borough-wide, it's more this five-year adjustment.
Well, last year the board was Seward, and we do Central Peninsula. And so, yeah, and this is a new land model, so you guys are the guinea pigs for it. And
so two things.
A year before last, they did it in Sterling.
And so I say guinea pigs. I mean we're supposed to try to get to full and true value, and occasionally they change the models in order to try to fine tune that.
Okay, we're looking for a number of values. We look at the MLS listings. We can get similar information about lot size, house size, number of bedrooms, and all that. Yeah. You can pretty much assume, I think, that a house isn't going to sell for more than it's advertised for unless there's a bidding war. So I've looked at that and found several comparable houses and applied the acreage and the number of square feet in the house. And I think I'm over-assessed now, and I got a $70,000 increase.
And I appreciate that. And we also can't use MLS because that's a system that belongs to the realtors. I suppose we could go into it and get that type of information, but
yes,
I think we'd get pretty strong pushback.
Yeah, I updated.
You can do it, sure.
I looked at the five properties that Evan gave me were comparable.
Right.
They aren't comparable at all.
You know,
I got a house down the street that is kind of comparable. I mean, he's comparing my 1.25 acre lot with 1/4 acre lots in town, and he's comparing apples and oranges very much. $200,000 properties and $500,000 properties. Where is the $330,000 property that I'm assessed at?
Yeah, and I'm familiar with that because, you know, I've never appealed any of my assessments because I was a former mayor and when I'm current mayor. In fact, I go to the assessor regularly with my property and say, hey, look, we bought a building in Nikiski, a warehouse building. We bought it for $525,000. And they had it assessed at $385,000. It's a great building. It's worth at least $525,000, in my opinion. I'd have paid more for it. Brick building, upstairs, anyway. It's a good building. Paid $525,000 for it. It was assessed at $390,000, I think. I told them, hey, we paid $525,000 for it. And they said, well, did you fill out this form that we sent? I said, probably not. because you get those things and you, sure, it's not necessarily a priority. So I guess said, you know, I don't remember if I filled it out. So I told them, they increased it to $525,000. The next year they reassessed it and they assessed it at $537,000 or something. So I think it's close. Now, on my house, I thought my house was undervalued too. And so I went to them and they came to me. Tom said, would you mind if we go look at your house? Because we see you've listed it for sale and you've listed it for way more than we have it assessed for. And I said, yeah, that's because I got into this remodel project and I put way more money into it than I'd ever hoped, and I'm trying to get some of it back. And he said, well, it says it has 2 kitchens. I said, well, it doesn't. He said, well, that's what the listing says. I said, well, the listing's wrong. It has 2 ovens. But not and so they went out and reviewed it again and did an assessment and increased my assessment. So they increased my assessment and I said, yeah, I think that's closer to market value. It wasn't what I was asking for, but as it turned out, I not only did I sell it for the asking price, I didn't even sell it for the assessed price. I sold it for less than the assessed price, and now it's assessed properly because until they get to the view, because it's got a gorgeous view, and that area has it. And that's what I said. I said is that, wow, I have a gorgeous view from my house, but I don't. But when you buy and sell it, doesn't that capture that view if you're having those sales?
Is it assessed on the full size of the parcel? Because what if you have a view from the top of your driveway, but where your house is, you have no view? How do you manage
I don't know. I don't know. I think that is, again, probably there is probably some subjectivity to that. Instead of an excellent view, they might consider that a good view. I'm trying to figure some of that out, too.
Yeah, so do we have access to those? So can we look at our individual assessment and say, oh, your view property was excellent or was moderate, all these factors, because you're applying them, but I haven't seen them on my bill, and I'd really like to take a look at them at this point and understand why my taxes went up 30% this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of that is, how much of the models are, you know, you get into the nuances of the model. But what we want to do is it should be able to show what factors they apply to your specific parcels in order to see the values go up. So I think the answer to that is yes. And we're going to work to try to get it calibrated to make sure that we get it right. That's what our goal is on these assessments.
Yeah, like one is 6 acres at 10 mile, and I happen to know what the market value is, but I'm in the process of selling it or trying to sell it. Okay, so last year it was assessed to 67. This year it's assessed at 112,000. The market value is from 83 to 93. And I'm asking high, but I might have to go. So say in next year it might actually be closer to the old assessed value. So how long will I be stuck with this high assessment with land that's worth maybe $50,000 less? It's one of my questions. And that seems a little unfair to jump it so far in 1 year with some other factors that might change.
I agree with you entirely. Actually, there should be, especially because we could not possibly have enough personnel to send them out and assess every parcel every year.
So you think it might be 5-6 years that I'm stuck with this high?
Well, no, because if you appeal it.
But I did appeal it.
Okay, then whatever that is, and if they calibrate the model, I think what the goal is try to get to a model that they can calibrate based on sales in the area on a year-to-year basis so that you don't see big jumps. Now, one of the things that we're not allowed to do, which I think we should be allowed to do, because if we apply this model borough-wide, not suggesting that we're going to, because we're not finished with our process yet to try to, I'm not finished reviewing what's going on. And so every 5 years, we get the whole borough, right? And so when we transition to a new model, if it changes things that dramatically, we ought to have the ability to phase it in over a period of time so that everybody in the borough sort of is on the same plane, right? So that by the time we get through this whole cycle, then we should hopefully get to a model eventually that we don't have to make huge adjustments to.
Considering why you guys didn't employ a little moderation this year instead of escalating things by 30, 40, 50%. I mean, well, that would have seemed a little more reasonable to me.
And I appreciate that. I don't think that I disagree. But again, mayors don't get into the models that are being used and the training that's going on. I get the information the same time you do. And most years, I've been mayor for, this is my ninth year total. I think 2 of the 9 years, this by far was the most appeals, but one other year we had a lot of appeals, and mostly we don't see that many appeals, and so that argues at least either we're low or we're in the right neighborhood.
How many appeals were submitted this year as opposed to last year?
We're not sure yet, but a lot. And I say a lot because we still have some coming in that are postmarked before the 31st. We're counting them and sure, including them in it. But we are up over, I think, 750 appeals this year.
So is that going to put some additional pressure on the Board of Equalization?
Absolutely.
Is it going to be a longer period they're going to have to be doing this? Are they going to divide into two boards for something?
I don't know that we can get to two boards, but it might be a longer period. We're also required to have all of this process completed by the 15th of June, which is when we have to certify our rolls. The other thing that I have asked, and no promises at this point, but I've asked whether or not, hey, could we have a few days of hearings in Homer for Board of Equalization so that instead of the residents having to come up to... I talked to the clerk and she said, yes, I want to run it by the Board of Equalization. Mm-hmm. It obviously puts a little bit because all of the information is assessing information is up there, but I'm pretty sure we can accommodate that. We're going to try to do that.
Yeah, the appeal process and the Board of Equalization process is very much a catch-as-catch-can. If you do the appeal and you decide to come, you're probably going to get an adjustment, is my experience in local government. And then, like you're saying, the person who doesn't. And so then when it comes to doing assessment, then those who didn't will be paying more and to support our government. And that you've gotten so many appeals from this area, and the Board of Equalization process is pretty cumbersome, and it seems like, listen between your lines, you're doubting whether this approach is really the right approach to be taking right now. And shouldn't the borough maybe go back and say, okay, let's take a different tack and redo this? So there are a lot of things wrong with it right now, instead of the Board of Equalization process.
Well, I think you've done a lot of reading between the lines, and I appreciate that. I guess what I'm saying is that when I look at it and I say, okay, now that I've got this and I can see folks are upset and I have some concerns about how things were applied also as mayor. Mm-hmm. So if we make a determination, and again, we've talked to the state assessor's office, we're going to have to talk to them again, we're going to have to figure out what options are available
in order to try to be fair, because that's the goal that I'd like to get to, is if, hey, if we decide that we shouldn't apply it here, we should treat everybody the same, not based on who appealed and who didn't appeal, but I'm not sure we have that option, unless we go to, unless we say that it we made such manifest errors that we're going to throw it all out, send you all a new assessment. I don't know if I have that. I don't know if I have that authority, but we really are trying to figure out what the options are that are available to us to try to get it right. And I don't know what those are going to be yet.
So when you say they're transitioning, they have used that new model. Is that correct?
They used it a little bit last year in Sterling, I think.
Did they use it in Homer?
Pardon?
Did they use it here?
Well, they applied it this year, yeah.
I said they used it here. So they're not transitioning, they actually used it. So,
well, when I say transitioning, it means to the whole world.
Trial and error.
But they've used, so you're talking to us here at Homer, so
yep.
They used it
yep.
to assess our properties here in Homer. Okay. So, what are your options? You said, you know, there are things that you'd like, but what do you actually have right now? That you can go back and say.
Well, the options are that the assumption is that if the assessors were trained properly and the model is an acceptable model, then the assumption is that the assessors and the process that they went through is accurate, and the burden's on you to show that it wasn't. And so when you say that you'll get some adjustments, you know, the reality is in the Board of Equalization, I don't know how many of you availed yourself of it, it's a pretty tough burden for the property owners. It really is.
Very hard, yes.
So and that's why I say I take this seriously in terms of what really is the fair approach. Not because everybody's upset, but because I didn't have access to the models that they were using or the multipliers. They don't go to the mayor's office and say, here's the model that we're using, here's the factors that we're going to apply, what do you think? And I don't think you want that either, because then you have a whole bunch of subjectivity based on different mayors that would really mess up the process. Again, the International Association of Assessing Officers has various models. They occasionally change those models. They provide training, and the state assessor sort of reviews the things that we do also.
And this is from the assessor that I talked to, was from something in the lower 48. I totally disagree with anything like that. I think Alaska is totally different. Second of all, I've appealed 3 times on 3 different pieces of property, and every time I've had to have an appraiser come out and appraise the property, have an appraiser in my hand. I appealed 1 time, and I didn't get it because I didn't have an appraisal. I had comps that I had gone around to the local MLS and got their printouts, brought them to the meeting, showed them, but they wouldn't accept them because it wasn't an appraiser. So
yeah,
if you want to appeal it, you have to have an appraiser come out and appraise your property and take it up there with you.
Yeah, that is one way to do it, but you know,
the Board of Equalization will not.
Okay, but even if you go get an appraisal for your purposes,
mm-hmm.
Because you purchased the appraisal. It's why for financial transactions and loans now,
mm-hmm.
because of savings and loan scandal, because of the housing scandal, you know, banks don't allow you to go get an appraisal and say, here's my appraisal, I'd like to borrow this much money. Mm-hmm. They have to do, it has to be an independent appraisal. And so,
mm-hmm.
Hey, the burden is tough. I agree with you, and you shouldn't have to go spend $600,000 to get an appraisal in order to try to win your deal.
Yeah.
Well, because in most instances, in most years, I mean, how many of you have ever gone in and said, got my appraisal notice, you missed this, I think my value is way more and I'd like you to raise it.
You did.
Okay, but one. It doesn't happen very often. And so this process that we go through, which is supposed to be an objective process based on our requirements in state statute, we go through this process of trying to get it right. And if we don't, we try to figure out what we can do to make it right under the statutes.
How come some people are able to resolve their issue over the phone
and some of us have to appeal for our rights, and if we have to go through all this to prove our value of our property. My son just talked to somebody on the phone, because he's in Ketchikan, and they value his property as if the project was done, and then told him they only assessed the property 1/3, but yet when you see the appraisal or the assessment, it shows the piece of property finished. And I questioned the answer that he got from the person up in the borough. So why is it some people are allowed to get $30,000 or $40,000, $50,000 off their assessment over the phone, and others that were taxed $140,000 have to go to appeal?
Well, it goes to there's an informal process also. You know, when you get your assessment notice, you can call up and say, hey, that's, you know, I'm not finished with this, or you should have come in, because they oftentimes they'll come back down and visit the property, and if it's incomplete, they'll make adjustments. They have the ability to make adjustments, but they don't get to just make it based on somebody calling them up and saying my assessment's too high, and they do have some flexibility to do that. And there's an informal process and then a formal appeal process, and if you get to the formal appeal process and you haven't been able to get an adjustment that's acceptable to you, then you got to go to the formal process.
So let me ask again. So if you go to the Board of Equalization and you don't have an appraisal that was done within the last 3 years, you don't have a case.
No, that's not quite true.
No, you don't.
Well, you know, I've never been before the Board of Equalization.
I've been three times.
Okay, but the Board of Equalization, the assumption is that the assessment that you have, that a borough assessor did based on their training and state law, etc., is accurate. That's the assumption. Okay, and so you've got to prove differently. And in order to do that, whatever tools you may use, you might have information about, hey, here, I bought this house last year, and here's the price I paid. You've got me $70,000 higher than I paid last year. Okay? That probably would be compelling. If you said, well, my view's not that good, and you took some pictures of your view on a cloudy day, took some pictures of your view, and they said, yeah, that should have applied this factor. They should have only applied that factor. So you know, the Board of Equalization are just residents from the borough, and so they go through assessing too. And so they, as much as the attorney tries to tell them you can't use that criteria to make adjustments over here, that sometimes they use some subjectivity to that too. So,
just building on what Gav says, I have a coworker who did a phone call to the borough after getting her assessment, and they didn't come back out to her house to look at it again. They lowered it over the phone.
But what did they lower it based on? See, this is
her neighbor who lives next door.
Well, it might have been her neighbor who lived next door said she didn't have gas, or she's this far away, or I don't know in those individual. But the assessors who came down here, when you call up, you talk to the assessor who came down here, and if you give them information that they agree with, yes, they can make adjustments. It's not unlimited. There's a review also that happens there where, you know, the assessor and the borough assessor reviews it, the assistants review it. They got to make sure that they don't get to just on their own whim change values.
Very helpful if those multipliers were made available to us, if you request them, or just if they came with our assessed value in that, okay, I think mine's really high. Well, gee, I wonder if they knew that I don't have electricity to the parcel. Did they misidentify that? Or did they misidentify that there's no road constructed to the property or whatever? It'd be very helpful then to be able to identify multipliers that may be an error, rather than being totally in the dark and saying, it's too high, I don't know why, I'm just going to go whine and complain about it. And so that kind of information would be very helpful for us. And this year, it was a little bit disappointing in that, so I called the assessor's office and said, gee, did you discount, because it's a remote parcel, it's not connected by a road and this and that.
And they said, well, we'll have to check into it, but, you know, we're so overwhelmed with, you know, informal appeal requests that we can't accommodate them, so you're going to have to file your formal appeal anyway, and we can't get back to you before the deadline, and that was 2 weeks before the deadline.
Even if you've appealed, you can still go through that informal process where invite them back down. If you haven't appealed, though, then you can't.
Right.
And so that's why they said get your appeal in, because that leaves open the option of going through this informal appeal process and the ability to have them come down and visit. Now, they visited, they're supposed to visit all of the structures, even the remote ones. All of the land, they didn't have the same person go to each particular parcel of land. Sometimes they took pictures, sometimes they relied on the assessor who was at the house or whatever, who made a determination, Kelly, about the view.
Information for everyone, when they're asking about all of these adjustments in the modeling, when the assessing department was down here speaking to the realtors, they said they were working on getting that into the on the website. All of those factors as they go. They just
all
have
of the
get
all of the variables. Yeah, and that's what we should try to get to. By the way, you guys have $1 million view down here, and we don't attest to
it. Can you tell me the difference? Why it's different for inside city limits and outside city limits on the view value? Right?
Well, I don't know. Well, I think what it is because
elevation.
It's elevation mostly. Is you know, I know when I drive out East End Road, the view gets better, and if you're on the hillside, it's a lot better, but even if you're on the water side, depending on the slope, etc. So again, there's some subjectivity into that, and I think that's why, but I didn't ask that specifically.